The song I'm going to sing is very easy for the response because the lead person in Africa, we sing a lot in where you have the soloist and then the community responds back. So the lead person says the words and all you have to answer is amen, amen, amen. And you know, I have been told that the three most popular words that everybody knows in the world is amen, hallelujah, and Coca-Cola. So you won't have any difficulty with this one. I say, tembea na Yesu, amen, tembea na Yesu, amen, tembea na Yesu, amen, hallelujah, amen. So you have just to answer, amen, 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 hallelujah, amen. Okay? Can you, let's try that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, amen. Okay? Now I'm going to be the lead pastor.
But before you start, maybe you should explain. Tembea na Yesu means walk with Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah, so you work with Jesus, so maybe it's good if you can stand up.
So how we do this song?
Yeah.
So how we do this song in Africa is that every song has got some. You have to do what it is asking you to do.
Yeah.
So when we do Tembea na Yesu, we walk. Yeah. Okay. Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Now let's go a little faster. Because we walk fast. Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Amen. Tembea na Yesu. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Can you now enjoy it? Just once. Now enjoy it and just do whatever you want.
Enjoy whatever you want.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na
Yesu. Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Tembea na Yesu.
Amen.
Talking about tethering a cow. We had a discussion sometime last year when we had some rather strong disputes among ourselves as to whether some of the things we are doing are for the church or are marginalizing the church. And the cause of this disagreement was that a very large part of our constituency was saying that we are professionalizing the management of the program so much that it's becoming and seeking out for efficiency and productivity, so that we are just becoming like a multinational corporation. And an Anglican priest from Sri Lanka is the one who warned us that we are tethered to the Church of Jesus Christ on a plastic leash. And we need to realize that that leash overextended can very easily snap, and the people will no longer realize whether or not indeed we are a Christian-based organization. Now, the video we're going to see highlights the relationship what the communities are doing, the communities that we're working with in Latin America, mainly in Latin America, primarily in Brazil and Bolivia, and the linkage with their respective national institution, and then the linkage to the global fellowship. This linkage involves also institutions and institutional building. And when you talk about institutions and institutional building, power and politics and exercise of power also comes into play. And the exercise of power depends on who is the strongest around the table in terms of decision making. So you will see various parties that are involved in this. And how we have tried to evolve a mechanism where the church sits with the communities and the community representatives, Christians and non-Christians alike, just to address this particular mission on poverty alleviation and the struggle for socioeconomic justice. When you see the video, you might think that we might appear bigger than we actually are. But I think Marva gave us a very good illustration when she drew a grid here. We regard ourselves as a small candle in the darkness. When you go very far, you will not see it. But as you come nearer, nevertheless, there is some light. And if we light several small candles all over the world, then maybe the darkness will cease. The question of use of resources and the management of those resources means that we cannot ignore modern tools and technology that are available, particularly in terms of credit and credit management. This is quite a challenge because when you're working in a church situation, this may not be common here, but in several other places that we work in, it is generally presumed that being Christians, if you are a caring person and you have Christian caring, then you don't have to seek out for efficiency. And we are supposed to accept what I would call mediocre performance. We have had many people who have been with pressures on this. And clearly, it seems to us that the Bible does demand stewardship. And maybe for those working in church-related organizations, maybe much more than those who are doing this in the secular world, because we have resources that are entrusted to us by people, individuals who believe that we'll do our best, all of us, to be able to manage those resources. So if you are looking for a treasurer to manage the pension fund or the pastors in the church, you certainly want to have one who will make sure that the resources, the management of the pension fund will result in both security and optimum return to the, so you look for the best treasurer that you can be able to afford. Likewise, if you are looking for a scholar for to do New Testament in a seminary, for a position of New Testament in a seminary, certainly you look for the best New Testament scholar. You may get an Old Testament scholar, but it's unlikely that the Old Testament scholar will be as efficient. So this is, and over time, it has now become accepted that if we want to be able to work with the poor much more efficiently, then we must be efficient and look for the resources that are available. I liked what Mava said at the beginning. It's not necessarily efficiency and professionalism per se, but rather we also have to look at the moral values that guide us and guide our actions. So with those few introductory remarks, we'll see the video. It's about 28 minutes. And as I promised yesterday, after that, I will not make any more comments. Then we have a chance. I think when I was going out yesterday, there were some people who were raising questions. Then if you have questions, then we discussed it.
Between the churches at the national level and the community and the people's organization
in order to achieve a common goal.
Our voices are present at the decision-making table, in the National ECLOF Committee in each country, in regional seminars and consultations, and at the board in Geneva. Women's voices and those of whom we represent from our regions of Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean. The institutionalization of ECLOF aims to obtain equal participation of women in leadership roles in all decision-making processes, and we are happily seeing how each region is reaching this goal. In the same manner, the democratic and participatory spirit of the fund translates itself today in that each region of the South is duly represented at the board in Geneva with voice and vote. I take there the voice of my region, Latin America and the Caribbean, and this South-North contact and exchange that evolves within the board is resulting in more effective work and greater mutual respect and equality.
The reorganization of ECLOF Geneva has had a lot of advantages for ECLOF Zambia. Because of this reorganization, ECLOF Zambia is able to be registered as a management trust on its own entity. And because it's registered as an individual body in Zambia, it's able to affiliate itself to as many NGOs, non-government bodies that is, including churches, are able to be affiliated and work with ECLOF in serving the needs of the poor and the marginalized people in our community. This has led to more people and more representation on the ECLOF committee in Zambia.
We used to our work was only in charity, but now, because of the ECLOF loan, churches are beginning to look at the whole question of development among the poor. Because we are involved in the development program, working among the poorest of the poor, our training is also not just in theology or evangelism, and the preachers are not just talking about salvation and piety, they are now also talking about justice and working with the poor. So this has changed even the way in which our preachers are preaching in the churches.
Northeast Brazil, who in their projects develop an educational program for 250 poor children and youths, including the recovery of street children. They borrowed $23,000 from ECO Brazil to complete the youth house and expand their vocational training.
The Child David Project is an expression of our young people's pastoral, inspired by Dom Lessa, our bishop. It is an educational project that aims to prepare young people by providing them with a profession for a clearer and more solid presence in society. We hope that in a few years, these children that are learning carpentry, agriculture, or poultry raising will first find a place in the world of work in order to improve their level of life. For those that came from the streets, to find a way to be part of society. For this, we have a social and cultural integration program so that all of them will find their way within the transformation going on in society today, as well as having a place in the church. Finally, there is the question of what kind of person we want to form, one who acts according to the gospel and the heart of Christ. I have been in the project for 8 years, and the project has been an essential point in my life because here I learn a profession. We learn many things so that when we leave the project, we can be something in life and use outside what we have learned here for our livelihood and that of our families. We believe that credit is a fundamental tool to help the poor to develop their programs and improve their living conditions, both material and educational. Our churches are contributing in one way or another for what we call human development through precisely mechanisms such as providing fair loans.
E mecanismos tal como mecanismo de crédito.
With our work at ECLO, we seek to improve the living conditions of the population in situations of poverty. Some of our priorities are the work with women, introducing savings as part of credit, and that the projects are all environmentally sound. Our loans support productive activities of every nature, the transformation of production and its marketing, as well as some services that are income generating. This work is done through institutions and grassroots organizations.
One of the key aspects of ECLOF is working with grassroots organizations. The Tablería Alta community in the subtropics of Bolivia is an example of this. It was supported by ECLOF Bolivia with $16,000 in working capital for improving potato crops and investment capital for mechanization.
All of us here are leaders of the Tablería Alta community. Janet gave us 6 loans for a total amount of $102,000 for our potato crops and a tractor. We still owe now only about $15,000. The loans have allowed us to improve our situation, and what is also good is that all of our members are paying their loans on time. As a farmer, I want to mechanize. I already have a small motor cultivator with which I work. I have also bought my tools and a wheelbarrow. Before, I carried loads on my back like an animal, but now I can do it on the wheelbarrow.
An experience of communal organization happening in the flatlands of Bolivia with working capital loans amounting to $50,000.
ASOPRO, the National Association of Bean Producers, was created in 1990 and includes 20 small farmers grassroots organizations, which means 3,500 families of small bean farmers. We have been producing beans, a non-traditional product, for 4 years, having farmed over 7,000 hectares of beans in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Of this, ASOPROF exports 60% to Brazil and Japan. We are also developing a variety for export to Colombia. The small farmers have seen their incomes increase considerably since the creation of ASOPROF, and we envision very good prospects in the future because we're opening up new markets and producing new varieties of beans.
The latest loan it has received from ECLOF for $30,000 was to expand the lending base of its savings cooperative.
Well, APAEF is an advantage in that it helped us improve a lot our situation. Do you know what I mean? If it wasn't for APAEF, things would be much worse. because they can keep the price of sisal fiber up, thanks to the work of the association. Otherwise, the people who work with sisal would be much worse off. APAEB has three main objectives: to organize the small producers, to evaluate each producer by marketing it directly, not through middlemen, and to look for and provide basic goods at affordable prices. To achieve these goals, APAEB develops various programs. Among them, one of the most important is the Batedeira Comunitaria of sisal fiber that transforms and exports the product directly, guaranteeing the best prices for the products. Valenta Rural Credit Cooperative that looks for alternative credit for smaller rural producers by tapping local sources within the community as well as government programs. Thanks. I'm really happy with this cooperative because it's the only way that the small farmer has the opportunity that we never had before. With this cooperative, we've benefited. I myself have benefited already. I thank God and the work of APAEB with the cooperative.
Credit and savings is also a choice for popular housing projects in Bolivia. Before we lived in a house that we rented, it was very uncomfortable. I'm very grateful to San Luis Cooperative for giving us a loan. Now we have a house that is ours. I really appreciate that.
With the support of MEDA and ANED, the cooperative has been able to empower one of the most important groups in the informal sector of Bolivia, microentrepreneurs, of which 16 of our clients have benefited with housing loans from ANED.
Because they're excluded from decision-making spheres and their rights are still being violated. In the perspective of building a new society where men and women are equal, it's very important to support income-generating projects for women, mainly in the communal associations where women, together, can build their group and personal identities while strengthening and empowering themselves to fight for their rights. For their personal and family benefits, and also for that of their organization.
De la organización.
Strategy of ECLOF to overcome these problems.
Hey Neil, what are you going to do when you leave the project?
After your project, I will work in a farm nearby to help my father, my mother, and my brothers. Work selling chickens, have my own stand, and work in a field.
With the help of APAED and the trade unions, we have begun the work of training women so that they know their rights. With this training, we now have women in directors' positions. We have 4 women on the board. APAED has given total support for the fight of women for their rights.
For us, an important project is the process of training, where peasants learn how APAED works and the administration of cooperatives.
I am very happy to have this house thanks to the San Luis Cooperative. They have helped us and gave us the loan. I am proud and I hope that other families can use this cooperative and live like us and have a home where they can live in peace.
Lately, I've been able to make improvements on my house. Apart from this, out in the back, this work I did with the earnings from potato growing, for which Ahmed gave us a credit. Then, the earnings we used to better our homes, to eat better, and also for the education of our children.
When I leave the project, I hope to do better things in my life. No one must remain the same size, because a person must think about life. A person cannot wait before something happens. He has to think about life as he grows.
If you have any questions, I'll be glad to. Yes, sir.
Where's the money coming from for the loans? Is it donations or is it coming from financial institutions?
It is donations because the way this program operates, we establish revolving funds in a country, mm-hmm. and then the loans are granted in local currency. So the risk is very high. And so when the money is repaid, when the group pays the loan remains, the repayment remains in the country. The money is not sent back to Geneva.
But and the money...
So the money comes in form of donations.
Okay, but Geneva can funnel the money into the countries that need it for the loan.
Yes, and when they don't need it, like over the last 3 years, we asked Austria, which had funds since 1948. We also asked Singapore to return the capital, mm-hmm. which they did. And that capital now has been sent to another
to another country.
Other media countries.
Is the money are the loans interest free?
No, there is a charge, interest charge. And we follow the principle on interest rates. It's basically to provide for erosion of capital, because we are already in a local currency, provision for doubtful debts, and to cover the operational expenses. So the national program keeps 2/3 of the interest earnings.
Okay.
And 1/3 of the interest they send it to us. That's how we maintain our small secretariat in Geneva.
And what's the payback rate? Is it pretty high, or the default rate, is it low?
It's about, repayment back is about 74%. And this is because we have operated in very high-risk countries.
Yeah.
So it will be, that's the global average. But some countries, like we have seen Bolivia, they have a payment rate of 97%.
Ooh,
India has about 94%. We are operating in Central Africa, for example. We had a program in Zaire, we had a program in Rwanda. You know, we had a program in Burundi. We also had a program for many years in Myanmar, Burma, So we operate in high risk, very high risk countries.
Mm.
And at the time, particularly in the late 70s, particularly in Africa, the economies collapsed, even for example in Tanzania. So the loans that we had given become very difficult to
yeah.
collect.
There are places of extreme poverty, even in the United States. Do you ever do conditional kinds of situations like even in a country like this, or no?
No, we are not. We were not. Some four years ago, there were some discussions as to whether we should have a program in the United States, and in fact, whether we should continue with our program in Europe, because even in Europe, because that's where it started. We stopped sending capital many years ago, about more than 20 years ago, new capital, except in Italy, where we stopped only 5 years ago. But after discussion, it was agreed that we already have, there are many people who are already doing small-scale credit programs in the United States. To operate in the United States a credit program, the legal mechanism and demands are very high. And you need to have a very strong structure to be able to do that. And so we don't have a program in the United States. But I know churches at another organization that have a program here. We have one of our sister organizations called the Ecumenical Development Cooperative Society, EDCS. And with them, they operate with investment capital, by share capital. But you agree to receive only 2% dividend. And and I think they are doing some programs in the United States. Yes.
Who helps these people once they get the money to use it wisely or to know what to do with it so they don't, apply it in an incorrect way that won't give a return?
Yeah, so what you have seen, when you take our national they say the national program, take a case like Bolivia, which we have seen, or Brazil. We have churches that are members of the program. We have institutions, community institutions that are members of the program. Some of these are specialized in social organization and the training. And so they will provide the training facilities, and the training and support to the groups, and we provide credit.
Not just for skills, but to know how to use the money?
Yes, that is not in terms of, in fact, our emphasis is not on the technical skills in terms of how to grow potatoes.
Right.
To manage the money and manage the credit program. And yesterday we went through some kind of illustration where for very new people who may not have used this type of credit before, one of the countries, like in Bolivia, they give an initial loan of $80. 3 months, they get another loan of $120.
Okay.
After that, another loan until they reach $250 in 9 months. So it's very, very intensive training program.
You don't just hand them several thousand dollars and hope that they'll use it right.
Well, part of the problem with the external debt was that some of our countries just took millions and they were not willing to use those money, so it became a debt. So, in fact, we do find that the problem primarily, if a group comes, they may not get the credit because they need a preparatory process for them to be able to utilize the credit efficiently. And then maybe if you come back to your question of where do you get the money. Our money mainly comes from the churches and the church-related institutions. There is some money which comes from government bodies, but only government bodies that are working with the churches, church institutions.
Oh, okay.
So it comes to us via church-related agencies or churches, and sometimes from individuals.
Have you found that in their endeavors that they're pretty faithful about paying back? You mentioned yesterday that when you gave loans out, so you give loans maybe $80 to so-and-so, and the women were the ones that usually were the more faithful ones in paying it back. I mean, do you find that when you have these programs that the people are pretty, they're pretty earnest about doing the payback on it also?
It's the, I think the key lies in understanding mutual responsibility. And for us, the credit is only a tool. In fact, some of the best paying programs, one of our best paying programs, we have been very critical of them. Because they don't prepare the groups. You can take the money and they use it on things that destroy the family. So the preparatory process is very important, so that people understand the mutual responsibility that's involved. Where that one, that where that has been done, they are quite happy to come to pay back, because they also understand that when they pay back, you know, they themselves will come back again to borrow, or some of the group that they are related to will come back to borrow, or if they are 10 of you organized together, you see, if you don't pay, the rest, whether the rest, the others get their own subsequently, depend on whether you honor your own obligations. But there is on the whole that is that's quite good. It is not always the same, because the emphasis here was one type of program. We have another program where we lend to the churches. Sometimes we have seen when we lend to churches, sometimes they perceive that probably behind our minds we will say it's a church loan and we might write off the loan. So we get into some vocational problems there. But after some relationship, they also honor their own obligation.
I was noticing that several of the names of the groups were cooperatives. Do you work basically under the cooperative model then? Or is that something that happens at different local levels?
We have different, there are different lines. The question is, when you go to a particular country, in some cases, you work with a cooperative because the line of activity, like agriculture, you have many farmers are organized together. That's the only way you can get certain type of facilities and the marketing of goods. But what the cooperative also will do, they also will provide a small loan. Say you give a loan of $50,000, but that loan is split to so many people, like we have just in one case. We work with the groups or cooperatives. The word cooperative, in some countries you cannot use the word cooperative because it's marks of mismanagement and corruption. The minimum group size that we can work with is three. We don't grant loans to individuals. And that's a policy issue because our goal is to encourage community. And if you are living in a community, then there must be someone who trusts you. So it's a mix, it's not a cooperative. Some cases cooperatives, other they are smaller groups, what you have seen, solidarity groups, maybe groups of 10, groups of 5. Sometimes then you have a bigger program, then you work with a cooperative.
Yes. So if you're with a cooperative like that and they buy machinery like a tractor,
yes.
Do they then all share the tractor and take turns using the tractor? Or does each farmer end up with their own tractor?
Our experience with tractors, if a cooperative applies for a loan, or a group of farmers apply for a loan for a tractor, they will be required at the national level. They will be required to form that as a separate business.
Huh?
The tractor to be a separate business entity. Mm-hmm. If it comes to cultivate on your farm, then you are charged for the hours that it has worked for.
Oh, so it's like I rent it.
It's like rented. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's the way to maintain, okay. Be able to maintain the tractor efficient.
Huh.
Yeah.
Like a rental car.
Yeah. But our experience with tractors, we were very careful before. Big machinery, we are reluctant to fund because they almost always bring very serious management problems. But we do fund, but we are very reluctant to do it.
They bring problems?
Management problems.
Really?
Yeah, maintenance programs.
Oh, yeah.
Management and maintenance programs. Yes,
one of the men on the man on the video, he said something about a holistic approach to economic development, and I think like one of the aspects of the holistic approach that we're seeing a lot is this training for job skills, for employment, and then we see the church that is a part of that. I'm wondering, where is there like a part of, are funds being delegated or allocated to education, like for the youth? I mean, are the youth just being trained in a specific job, or is there education for youth? I mean, what's the vision for the youth growing up?
Yeah, we don't have training as such, programs as such, but we help to fund training programs because we're not experts, we are experts on credit and credit management. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to training, then we fund programs, those people are involved in training. For example, part of the loan, I think this is about 15%, 15 to 20% of the loans, say last year, went to youth-related programs. Some of these are self-employment programs, polytechnics, vocational training programs. But then what we do, we'll fund the people, organizations, or a church that is involved in that type of activity.
But your purpose is not to fund schools or?
No. No, we fund primary schools.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, church, provided they are church or Christian-based, and they are not money-making institutions.
Oh.
So education and training include also schools. In some countries also, what we call intermediate technology, even training for in computer training, helping people to acquire these. So we do that as well. We also fund programs for church buildings, you know, worship sanctuaries. Say like the program we have seen with the minister's brothers on the children, that is basically a training. It's a training program. And the agriculture you see they are doing, that is partly to raise part of that they sell, they use part of it they sell. But the main purpose, it uses as a training program
for the
children. Yeah, yes.
I saw a fair amount of work in rural areas. Do you do much work in the core of the urban centers at all?
We have, it depends from country to country. Micro enterprise, small scale businesses. This is mainly in urban areas. Like you see the women organization who was called FIA in Brazil, you see that lady walking all the way down, that is La Paz. Those small businesses we do in urban centers. Agriculture represents about 35% of our lending. These small scale businesses, micro enterprises, represent about 32% of our lending. So it is both, but the emphasis will depend from country to country. On the whole, we prefer even for micro enterprises to do those that are in rural areas, because the basic problem is people migrating into urban centers where even the levels of poverty is much more dehumanizing because of the nature of the urban center. So we prefer to do rural lending, but we also recognize that there are people who are poor people in the cities, and you still have to get a problem.
Any other questions?
There was a picture there of some young boys, and they kept talking about the project, and it sounded like they are these people, young people that have been on the streets in Brazil that we read about so much in the paper that have been homeless and that now have a, I mean, do they live there all the time and they're Well, can you say more about that?
Yeah, this group, this Maristas Brothers, this is the project which is managed by the Maristas Brothers in Brazil. And they have children from poor families. And then you have children from the streets. This program is put together so that you can have particularly the children who have been living on the streets and are homeless, they don't even know their own families, to have them mix them with other children who are from family situations, but they are poor, they are not able to support themselves, the families are not able to support them. So there is a mix. I think in this particular project, about 60% of the children are children from the streets. So what happens, they will take them at varying ages, and they remain, like the boy who was interviewed, who was doing portrait, he's been there for 7 years. And so they will also help them later on to get jobs so that they can settle, or even give them credit. I know this group is doing that, so that they can set up small self-employment projects on their own. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Just a comment. I visited one of ETHOS program in Bogota, and it answers to some of the questions that have been asked. This program had an inbuilt educational program for the members. So when they received the loan, they didn't use the loan only for what they needed to do as families, but the leaders of that particular program had try to identify what are their needs for education. And every Wednesday in the evening, which is one of the days that I visited, they meet going around each other's houses. And then they have an expert in the field that they want to discuss, come over and discuss with them in the evening. And they bring dinner and eat together. Mm-hmm. And in that way, they told me that there were a number of things that they told me. They told me that in that way that they get to know each other better because they have guaranteed for each other. So they need to develop a further trust in one another, an understanding that will continue to make them confident with one another. Secondly, they felt that what the loans had done for them was that they were able to improve part of their personal family lives. And but you cannot improve your family life alone without the community improving. So they would discuss together what they need to do as a community, and then they made the contributions now from their family incomes towards what they wanted to do as a community. And the third thing they told me, which is also another thing that I've been told by some other groups, Nungi and I work in different places, but I'm quite pleased with their emphasis on women, because I work specifically for the empowerment of women. So when I go to countries where they have a program, I make a special effort also to try to see how the women are affected by the program so that I can check on him. And some of the women have told me things like, the reason they feel good about loans rather than grants is that they feel that they have a, when they have returned the funds, they feel they can say it was ours and not someone else. They say, I built this house from my sweat. They don't say somebody came and built the house for me. Yeah. And the second thing they mentioned to me was that before they have, there are places in world over which are very closely attached to churches and organizations that give grants. But the rules of these organizations are that they should not build individuals or families. So when the grants get to point X, they build a common thing like a school, which is fine, and they build a community health center, which is fine, but the families never improve their status of life. So even if it is a school, some families are embarrassed to send their kids to school without clothes.
Yeah.
So they say some of these big grants that we have got from non-governmental organizations, from the United Nations, from churches, etc., have built things inside our communities, but that have not helped us to look at ourselves as individuals. And they like small things which help them to improve them, to look at themselves as individuals, and which don't always ask, what are you going to do with this money? but rather the community, they account to the community within themselves. So that it's the community that knows that she's going to buy clothes for the school fees or she's going to buy a car. And in one place that I visited in Africa, when the community decided to buy a cow, they decided a bull. They decided to buy a bull which should go and service all the other cows around as part of the money that they have received. So this decision making within and not being followed and not being asked what is your collateral when you have nothing to give is very empowering. Because if somebody comes to say, prove to me that you will pay by showing me what you already have, then it really, when you are poor, it really reduces you to even more nothingness.
Yeah, maybe I could thank you for that. We have some very interesting discussions after. one of the things, thank you for that intervention there. Maybe one of the things I should mention is that not all the loans are approved in Geneva. About 65% of the loans are approved nationally and dispersed nationally. That for us is critical. And these groups, the countries that you see, say that you have under ECRO Bolivia, you know, they are registered as an organization, and I don't employ those people. They are not employed by us, the director, you see. He is employed by his body in Bolivia. So our relationship is very much a mutuality type of relationship. And we have agreements on what we can do and what they can do. So there is a mutual consultation. If we want to change, we can only do that through negotiation, not through an instruction. Okay, so thank you very much. And I think
thank you.